You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Ngempela, we are powered by the SID Media. So in making a covenant, God promises a blessing for obedience to particular commandments. He sets the terms in His covenant, and He reveals these terms to His prophets. If we choose to obey the terms of the covenant, we receive promised blessings. As with everything else, there is a benefit and a consequence to everything that we do. Being informed of that may help us know how to approach these covenants. My pastor is coming back again. Pastor Hangoma, good morning. How are you?
Top of the morning, and I hope I find you well.
I am good, Mfundi. So I for some reason, there is this joy in my heart today. I can't explain. I don't know why, but I'm just happy.
I am equally super excited.
I'm happy you are feeling. You know me and you are connecting, ne? Others say we are connecting spiritually. Others say it's telepathy. I don't know which one it is, but we are in the same WhatsApp group. So before we start, Pastor, I'm going to ask that, could you please pray for us?
Shall we pray? Let me go the native way. Tuanda ulumba leza mfutuli, ujindisho tupaguti tuganane maju ago. Tawita ino tugandiswe mrimbo tuwa wana maju ago. Mwina just upaila sababole. Amen. Amen.
Amen. I thought the amen will be also in your native language.
We don't have the amen in our native. I don't know it.
I think when we finally get there, these are the things we must ask God. You gave us everything.
Exactly.
People were able to translate everything, but they couldn't translate amen.
I tell you.
Danny, how?
I mean, just how do we get there?
You know, anyway, we're speaking all things covenants of Fundi Swami. And, you know, we've spoken a lot. We've spoken about what they are. The blood covenants and so forth and so on, you know, why we actually need them and so forth. But then today we want to understand the sweet and the sour. This is how my producer put it there, the good and the bad about this covenant, you know. So do we gain any rewards for being true to a covenant, for sticking through with a covenant or entering into a covenant?
Well, That question, as we juxtapose around that particular question, maybe I should begin by making note of the idea that sweet and sour, you know, something that is sweet can become sour.
True.
If it is not protected very well, the very thing that was very sweet, it will just tend to be very sour. So maybe to answer the question as it were, maybe I go direct.
Mm-hmm.
Being true to the command or the covenant, keeping the commandment or the covenant comes with a reward or a benefit or benefits.
Mm.
It is supposed to be a source of the blessing of prosperity, joy, and health for people of God. If you are to go with me roughly here in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse number 4, 5, and 6. Let me just read it as quickly as possible.
Yes, please.
The Bible says, if I'm to begin from verse number 4, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. That's prosperity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Now, that's economy. So if you had to look at all these particular writings, he's saying, if you are going to keep and you are going to be true to the covenant, there is going to be a reward of prosperity, joy, healthy for the people of God. So when they follow this, a reward comes. Which doesn't only look at one facet of life. It looks at both the cultural perspective, meaning culturally, you're going to be blessed. You're going to live well with people.
Yeah.
Economically, you're going to be blessed, meaning your economy is going to have a lot of things. So if your culture is blessed, it means that your basket is going to be full, such that people are going to be coming to you to inquire for, I mean, how did you get this particular thing? How did you manage to have this particular money when us were suffering? Your response, therefore, is, I'm a covenant keeper.
Yeah.
And people now begin to follow what you do because they have seen that out of the covenant, there is actually the beauty. It doesn't just come with the sour, but it comes with the sweet. Yes.
So the sweet Mfundi Swami, should this be a motivation for us to keep the covenants? Because I know that, boy, if I do this, God is going to bless me with this. If I do that one, He's going to... should that be the motivation on why we do this? Or we should just do it nonetheless?
Well, in the world of today, if a man would want something from a woman, they would do anything possible to ensure that they get that particular.
Mm-hmm.
Because the woman will tell you, if you have to do, if you want this from me, then you must do this for me.
Mm.
So a man will do almost everything to ensure that he can get what he wants from a woman.
Mm.
But if God like that, in the terms of the covenant perspective,
mm.
well, the blessing that comes with being faithful to the covenant should not be the motivation for keeping the covenant.
Mm.
Actually, if we are to look at it from the perspective of how it is, if we keep or if we make an attainment of the blessing, then it would not even be possible for us to keep the covenant. Because look here, we would have predicted our covenant on the selfishness altogether.
Mm.
I think that's my point. So we cannot attain even the idea to keep the covenant. It is aided by God.
Yeah. So... yeah, the other day, you know, we spoke about how there's no one whom God is accountable to, but we mm-hmm. are accountable to him based on mm-hmm. whatever covenant that we have entered into with him, right? So what are some of the mm-hmm. consequences, my pastor, that if we break a certain covenant, this is what the punishment is or the consequence is? Are there those, and I want to bring it down, man. For example, can the local church hold us accountable because we have broken this a particular covenant, or it is not their jurisdiction? It's actually God who can say, Zanele, wena, you did not keep the Sabbath. Therefore, you understand the kind of thing. Or does the local church have authority on certain covenants, or the pastor? Because we do have people who are not who are listening, who are not Seventh-day Adventists, right? They don't
mm-hmm.
uphold
yes.
it, so
yes.
they don't know the whole church structures. Maybe their own pastor that they go to church under. Can a pastor hold anyone accountable? Can an elder hold anyone accountable when it comes to covenants? Or that is only reserved for God?
That's a very big question. I might not be able to actually exhaust it to its max.
Mm-hmm.
But let me just answer it in this particular way. Consequences of not keeping the covenant, there are cases that will come before us.
Mm.
A good example is actually depicted from the book of Deuteronomy chapter, the very chapter, 28 verse number 15.
Mm.
But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, emphasis, that all these cases shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shall be in the city, cursed there shall be in the field, cursed there shall be in the basket. And he's just trying to juxtapose around the idea of saying, if you are going to follow, then blessing shall come in your basket.
Mm.
Blessing shall come upon this. So now the opposite of this. So meaning, if at all the church or a congregation is not abiding by the covenant that God has given, we will find that the church is always going to be lacking. So let's go back to our churches and check. What is happening to our local churches? What is happening to our local leaders? Maybe they have failed to keep the covenant of the Lord. So God has removed the blessing that they has put something. So there is a lot of emptiness in most of our churches. Why? It's because people are not following the covenant of God.
Mm.
So are we saying the pastor is held accountable?
Mm.
Are we saying the members are held accountable? Because look, this is a body of all the members.
Mm.
So everyone is held accountable for not following the rules that God has given us. Remember, in the olden days, the children for the descendants of Achan, when the whole entire congregation messed up, what happened? It was out of one person, the whole entire clan was actually affected. So, out of one particular mistake of one person, even all of us, we could be affected. But we cannot blame it on a pastor. We cannot blame it on an individual one who has not been affected. But the point that I'm trying to drive at is, the pastor is not supposed to be blamed for maybe a wrong that is done in the church if members haven't followed. Because again, you cannot force people to forcibly follow the covenant. They must follow that in love. So consequences, yes, are going to come if we go the opposite. Because you cannot continue to keep the blessing of God using dubious means. You can't keep on having the blessing of God using other means. So the blessing of God must be kept or must be attained or must be given in a certain way that it promotes holiness. So that even people that are not in your church or that are not a part of the faith, when they ask you to say, what has made you to reach this far, even when things are rough in our country, in our continent? The response is going to be, I have followed the covenant of the Lord. I am a covenant keeper. Oh, what therefore does it mean? And you know, now it brings us back to the Sabbath commandment. Of course, I'm very alive to the fact that others are not Adventists.
But yes,
if you are to look at the Sabbath commandment, it comes with a lot of blessings.
Mm.
And he says, remember. And when you are going to remember, he brings about a lot of aspects that will come. So out of all these things that God has given us, he says, if we are going to follow the covenant, then the blessings will come. The cases, therefore, are going to come if you go the opposite way.
Mm.
Because if you're going by the opposite, you're not a true ambassador. A true ambassador must move with all the requirements of that particular country, which he is representing. But when you have moved, you remove the regalia of an ambassador, meaning they must remove every endorsement on you, because you're no longer representing the master of where you're coming from.
Mm.
Yeah.
So looking at that, Mfundisi, I'm saying that we do have these covenants that have blessings, and yes, there are consequences to breaking the covenant. Do we have some people in Scripture that we can learn from that have received either blessings or those curses from breaking or keeping the covenant?
All right. Very wonderful question, and I love it. Look, do you remember with me when the children of Israel were taken into captivity? It was very clear, and out of this particular biblical narrative, one of the verses actually puts it clear to say, if you will follow this, you will dwell in this particular land and you will leave this and things will be okay. But when they just deviated, God handed them over to the Philistines. He handed them over to the non-believers.
Mm.
That's why we find ourselves into Babylon. So we find the children of Israel being taken into captivity because they didn't follow the covenant. They deviated from what was agreed. And then God's to kind of remind them of where they belong and what they must do and who they are. He says, please, I'm going to give you in the hands of the Philistines for a little while, or the non-believers. And those are some of the examples that we can get. Remember the issue of David and many other kings, that when they didn't follow, God removed them.
Mm.
Until that's why now David comes and says, you know what, in chapter 51, where he says, clean my heart, renew it that I may become what? Become new again.
Mm.
Because now he wants to renew his covenant with his God.
So with this one, Mudiswami, I know we've done the definition, right, and explored what a covenant is. So when does a covenant move from being a promise to being a covenant? how does a blessing move from being a promise? How does it become move from a promise and a vow to being a covenant that now, you know, we get to be cursed or blessed from it?
Well, interesting. What elevates the covenant above any other promises is the fact that the owner, or the one we make it with, is above everything.
Mm.
So we make a covenant. The one who we make the particular covenant is above everything altogether. He is God, and he cannot lie.
Mm.
He will uphold every aspect of the covenant and guide us in maintaining our covenant with him.
Mm.
My footnote is with him, not alone, that I'm keeping the covenant alone. No. He's going to uphold us to ensure that we can keep the covenant with him altogether.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. That's my view.
On that, Mundiswami, how then do we know that we're keeping the covenant with him? I mean, we can't hold him accountable. How do we know that he's in it with us?
How do we know that he's in it with us?
Uh-huh.
Well, when we are in his will, even how we deal we are dealing with things of life, we can actually tell that we are dealing with the will of God. How we deal with our friends in the society, when people have wronged us, it will tell that these are covenant-keeping people and they are within his will. Because if you are not in the will of God, when somebody has wronged you, you will treat them like the world does.
Yep, true.
Your dress code will tell that you are not a covenant keeper. Your speech will tell that you are not a covenant keeper. The way you keep your money and how you return and things like that, it can tell that you are not a covenant keeper. But how you handle your finances, your life in general, people around you, can tell that you're a covenant keeper, and people are going to be changed because of what you do, because you're a covenant keeper. Your life is the connection between the vertical line and the horizontal. So you don't just live, you are living because you have a certain connection, and that connection is not just lived, but it is lived with God. So Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5 says, let this mind that was in Jesus be in you. I love what my favorite writer, Corateng PPM, says. He says, be out of your senses. So at the point when we are now a covenant keeper, we remove ourselves and God begin to dwell in us. Because in and of itself of ourselves, we cannot keep the covenant. We can't. Mm. We are left to just jeopardize everything. No wonder there is a footnote of the covenant is maintained with him.
Mm.
Yes.
Indeed. Mfundis, thank you. In fact, as I add to that one before you pray for us, there's a scripture there that I love it. I love it with everything. I always refer to it, that where God says that abide in me. In fact, dwell in me, you know.
Me.
And when you read it now in our vernac, like it's so, you want to abide in me and I in you. So that is how now we're going to know that in this covenant, we're not working alone in him, because what we are dwelling in him. But if we don't dwell in him, then we're going to walk alone. Then we're going to get a point where we're like, me, I'm tired. God, this is your promise that I make.
I'm tired.
I can't anymore. But if we are dwelling in him, then we are able to understand that we are not alone. So even when we get tired, he's able now to refill us. He's able now, when the water now is getting dry, he's able to refill us, give us more water so that we may continue. Mm-hmm. I feel like preaching now. Thank you.
Preach the word.
Yes. No, thank you, Pastor Wami. Any closing remarks, and then please do pray for us at the end.
Thank you. So scripture is replete with examples of children of Israel going into captivity. And every time they got back to keeping the covenant of God, blessings came after them. My point here is we could have messed up along the way. If we come back, we have an example of the children of Israel. Mm. When they messed up and God hearkened, blessings again came to them. Should this be a motivation factor? No. It is the love of God that must be. Are we keeping this on our own? No, it is with God. He is the one that gives us the power both to will in order to do this thing and even to actually do. Mm. On our own, we cannot do it. No wonder he says, I am the true vine and you are the branches. When you are cut from the true vine, you are going to mess up and the whole thing is going to be dried. Imagine you just cut an apple tree, an apple branch from the mainstream. Can that apple still survive? No, it cannot. It will just shrink. So many a Christian today, they have shrunk in their Christian life. They feel they are tired of keeping the commandment and stuff like that. Why? It's because they have been detached from the mainstream, who is the true vine. Please, may we be attached to the true vine. Blessings.
Thank you, Mfundisi. Please pray for us.
Shall we pray? Tolumba mwami, kamba suno watupa jindi, kutingu tuwagana na maju yago. Biza tolubi ya muzre ya ndene andene, tolumba utulegelele. Buliba ntumbuwa ya gusu hili la maju yago, kutega basanduge basike muzre yago. Kwa panguzu ya gujita, Aguzita hoyanda. We now just Walumba. Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
Pastor,
God bless.
Hey, that amen. Fundis, thank you. Till we chat
God again bless you.
Tomorrow.
I appreciate it. And see you tomorrow again, hey?
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.